Chapter 30. The word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus speak the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. And lo, the day comes, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah, saith the Lord. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave unto their fathers, and they shall possess it. What a wonderful, wonderful promises. Here we have the restoration of the Jews that will take place after the captivity. And the raising up of the Messiah will come in at this time. This must be the next age, because so much of this was never fulfilled when they came out of Babylonish captivity. It could have been fulfilled if they would have come out and yielded to the Lord again. But they didn't. Only a small remnant of them came out of captivity when it was over. And it bothered Daniel, and it bothered Zechariah and some of the other prophets. So, but God promised this. He said, the day will come that I will bring again the captivity of my people. And notice it's both the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes. They'll all come together when the Lord brings them together. So this hasn't been fulfilled yet. Even over there today, people really don't even know what tribe they're from. Most of them don't. But God's going to reveal these things to them. He's going to show them, because we know by Ezekiel that they will be divided into tribes again. It's not going to be the same division that it was at Joshua's time, but they will be divided into tribes. So they will know one of these days. But I will cause them to return to the land, the same land I gave to their fathers, which would be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they shall possess it. And these are the words the Lord spake concerning Israel, and concerning Judah, all 12 tribes. Thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling and of fear, and not of peace. See, this was their captivity. This was their time. And they went through this time of cleansing, a time of suffering, a time of correction, that they might, when God brought them out, they might turn wholly unto Him. So this is called a trembling of fear. Fear is a terrible, terrible thing. Fear is. Who read last? I forgot. Jack, Revelation 11, verse 11. Notice the fear that will be in people's lives during a tribulation time. In John, 1 John, he says, perfect love casteth out all fear. And so this is the way that fear is to be thrown out. Yeah, great fear came on them. When they saw the resurrection of the 2 witnesses, they feared God. I think this was one of the things that really will make a lot of Jews change their mind, is when they see the power of God in these 2 witnesses. In Luke, Jesus talked about the fear in the last days. And in Luke 21, he says, men's heart will fail them for fear during the tribulation time. So we know it's going to be a fearful time of trembling and of fear. It won't be a time of peace. It'll be a time of a sword. Verse 6, ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with a child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail? And all faces are turned into paleness from weakness. And this kind of goes along with the 66th Isaiah, Evelyn, 66, 7 through 9, I think, is what I want. But this is a metaphor here concerning, that describes the pain that will be them and the blessing that will follow the pain. You know, when a woman has a child, it's terrible, terrible pain. I'm not saying this by experience. I'm saying this by what I've read. And some women have more pain than others, I guess. But anyway, when it's over and they see the child and that little baby and they begin to hold it, they'll say it was worth the pain to bring this child into the world. Now, the nation is going to do the same thing. Read that in 66 chapter of Isaiah. And so the nation will be born through pain, won't it? Through suffering. And that's going to be the purpose of the tribulation time. Later on, we'll find that this is called Jacob's trouble, the same period of time. Then in verse 7, alas, for that day is great, so that there's none like it. And now, Joel tells us almost the same thing. Maxine, Joel 2, verse 11, I believe it is, tells us all that there'd be not a day like it. And also the 24th chapter of Matthew, Jesus says it'll be so bad there'll never be like it again, or never was before, or like it afterward. It's going to be, the time will be so great that they're done like it. Find that in Joel 2. Read verse 31, same chapter. So it's a terrible day, isn't it? It's a day of suffering. So never like it again, even as the time of Jacob's troubles, you see. Now, we do know that the last 3.5 years is what we're talking about, of the tribulation. It's called Jacob's trouble. Then we have a conjunction here, but he shall be saved out of it. The nation, Israel, will be saved out of Jacob's troubles, or out of the tribulation. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off his neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. And this is speaking of Babylon. He's going to break the yoke. Not anyone else can break the yoke. False prophets can't break the yoke. The yoke can't be broken until God's time for it to be broken. But God says he's going to do it. He's going to break that yoke. And then we read that he will burst the bonds that held them there. And then we read that strangers shall no more serve him. God is going to bring another nation in that'll be strangers to them. But they'll not serve Nebuchadnezzar anymore. Verse 9, but they shall serve the Lord their God. Isn't that wonderful? That brings us on down into the kingdom age when Christ takes his throne. They shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Now we know that this has to be last days, because Zedekiah is on the throne, isn't he? And he wasn't recognized by God as being on the throne of David. Coniah was the last one. And so now we see a man on the throne of David. This has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to take this place upon the throne as the Messiah. And God is going to demonstrate his love. Now, I'm just going to give you some verses. Time is getting away from me, I believe. But in Isaiah 55, maybe we could look some of these up, I guess. Roberta, Isaiah 55, 3 and 4. And then in Jack Hosea, I think it's 3, chapter 3, verse 5. And then Evelyn, Ezekiel 34, verse 23, I believe it is. Now, all of these are pertaining to Christ, the Messiah, that they'll be looking forward to. Isaiah 55, 3 and 4. So here we have the King of David that will have a covenant. This will not be the same covenant that was written on tables of stone, but this will be a covenant that will be written on the tables of their heart. All right, Hosea 3, 5. Jesus the Messiah, David their king. And they're going to reverence the Lord at that time. Ezekiel 34, 23. 37, 24 is another one. Read that while you're right there. Chapter 37, 24. So we know that this has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to rule with a rod of love when he rules them. No one can love like Jesus. Verse 10, therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for I have saved thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest and quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Now here we have both names given to them, Jacob and Israel. Christ will be seen as the one who supplanted the nations, planted the old creation, all these things, and that he'll also be the prince with God, Israel. And so he'll be the leader of all of this. And he's going to bring them from distant lands, from afar, not just from Babylon, and not just from Rome, but from distant lands. And they'll be brought into captivity, and Jacob shall return. And notice this will definitely hasn't been fulfilled. It shall be in rest and quiet. Now, they have never been in rest and quiet. They've always been under the Gentile rule, Gentile authority. But when Jesus begins to reign, then this is going to be different. For verse 11, "For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make full end of all the nations." They didn't say he was going to do this. He said, "But though I do this, make a full end of all the nations where I have scattered thee, yet I will not make a full end of thee." Israel will always will be. God would rather sacrifice the nations than to sacrifice his people of Israel. But we know that he's not going to make a full end of all the nations. In the 25th chapter of Matthew, where we see the judgment of the nations, he's going to put the sheep nations on one side. That's the ones that have believed God and joined in with Israel in the last days, especially the last part of it. And then we have the goat nations, which refuse to. "Thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous." How important these things are to people. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, and we have the same thing in Proverbs 3, I believe it is. "Despise, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord." Can't quote it. Maxine, Hebrews 12, 6. And Roberta, read Proverbs 3, 16. And you see that these are almost the same. So that kind of helps you understand where it's quoted from, where it's come from. It comes from the wisdom of Solomon, which is from the Davidic line. Go ahead. "So the Lord, whom the Lord loves," all right? Proverbs 3, 12. So some of these sufferings are corrections, aren't they? And God allows it not only in Israel's life, but also in our life, and how good it is to take them. "There is none that pleadeth," verse 16, "there is none that pleadeth thy cause." You see, when they're in this grievous place, there's none that will plead their cause, that they may be bound up. "Thou hast no healing medicine to bind up the wounds, to put medicine on. Only God can heal these grievous wounds and the bruises that's coming because of the tribulation. Verse 14, "All thy lovers have forgotten thee." You can't depend upon them. The nations we know as her lovers. They depend upon the nation. Right now, Israel depends upon the United Nations to take care of her rather than the Lord. Well, they can't help her. They'll forget her. "They seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wounds of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquities, because thy sins were increased." Now, this was Babylon in reality. But Babylon is only representative of the world powers in the last days that will do the same thing. 15, "Why criest thou in thine affliction?" See, these afflictions are necessary. So why do you cry out? Why do you complain? I think this is so wonderful when we learn that too. When God brings something in our life that is painful and we don't like it, let's not complain about it. Let's rejoice in it. Because our Father knows what's good for us. He surely does. And if it's needful to make me closer to him and to draw me where he wants me to be, He's got a blessing at the end of the road for me. He really does. I believe that. And I think we read that here. Therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured. So all these nations, now I believe verse 16 has to do with all the foreign nations that are against Israel in the last days, that would devour her, that would annihilate her. And all thine adversaries, every one of them shall go into captivity, and they that spoil thee shall be spoiled, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. For I will restore health unto thee. Oh, what a promise. I'm going to do it. When it's time come, when all of this sufferings are over, when you've been corrected, when you've been recognized him, the Messiah, Christ the Messiah, and so forth, I will restore health unto thee. Now, we're talking about a nation, but I believe its individuals too will be a healthy people. And I will heal thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this Zion, this is kind of sarcastic, you know. These people are outcasts. Now, Zion isn't necessarily Jerusalem all the time, although Jerusalem is called Zion. But many times it refers simply to the temple site. And if they don't know the Lord, the temple has very little value to it. And so the nations at that time, most of them won't. So this Zion, whom no man seeketh after, who wants that old rocky hill anyway? Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tent, his temporary dwelling place that he moved him out of, and have mercy on his dwelling places. And the city shall be built upon their own heaps. They were torn down, they were made a heap, but God is going to restore those heaps. I believe that the temple will be on the temple site that God has set up for it, in the same heap. And the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and a voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. There's going to be a lot of them. See, now we had before, remember, when he took them into captivity, he said, at the sound of there wouldn't be a sound of the bride or sound of the bridegroom, and all these things, you know. Now, this is all reversed. They will be thanksgiving. They will be singing and making you merry. And they will grow. The nation will. And become a great nation. I will also glorify them. And this simply means not only in God's eyes, but in the eyes of the nation round about. And they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. These are still the people of God. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause him to draw near. This is simply saying that they're going to all be Jews. There's no other nation that's going to be involved at this time in the running of the nation and in governing the nation. You see, the nobles shall be of them. These are going to be Jews, every one of them, be of themselves. And the governors shall proceed from the midst of them. The governors are all going to be Jewish people. And I will cause him, the governors, you see, and the nobles, to draw near. And how wonderful it is to be able to come near unto God and come into his presence. I was trying to think of where that is in the Psalms. But it says, who could come into the presence of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and pure heart. Where is that? It's in the Psalms, and it just isn't coming into my mind right now where it is. But anyway, this is what it's going to take to come. 24th, Psalms 24. Somebody look that up for me. I don't know who read last time, but I just come to me. Psalm is 24th Psalm. Come into the presence of the Lord. Well, these will be a new creation. This is what we're saying here. See, they're going to have that because they're going to know Jesus. They're going to know the Messiah. Did somebody find that? Psalms 24. Yeah.
He who hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully.
Yeah. And who hasn't done that in the flesh? Everybody. So we're talking about a new creation here, see? A nation that will be born again, that'll be have the righteousness, imputed righteousness of Christ given over to them. And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Oh, how love changes lives. When they see the love of Jesus, this is what changed my life. When I saw how much Jesus really loved me, I learned I wanted to walk in the light of that love. Ephesians 5, verse 2. Walk in love, even as for he also loved us and gave himself for us. And that's what we're going to see here of this nation. They're going to walk in the love and the light of the Lord. Time. Verse 23, behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, and continuing whirlwind, and it shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. Now this carries us on down past the kingdom age, when God is going to judge the wicked in a terrible, terrible, destructive judgment. And the fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he hath done it, until he hath performed the intent of his heart. In the latter days ye shall see it, ye shall understand. And so God has to judge sin. He has to judge sin on people, on nations, on Israel, and the last judgment of sin will be the great white throne judgment.